Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
Pardon me.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. This is Carrie Dabba 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 Dalby.
And this is Luke Skia 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 Ski.
That was a reference to the Toad Elevating Moment podcast. You have been referred to now.
OMG. It's almost as if there's a comment relating to that that's at the end of the show, because that's where comments go.
Welcome to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, episode number 39. Today is April 20th, dude!
OMG!
Didn't we record on April 20th last year?
I can't remember.
Anyways, toke him if you got him, yeah, blah,
so
blah, 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 blah.
Feel free to smoke weed, give birth to Hitler, and kill a lot of people at Columbine. Yay!
It's also International Glob of Toothpaste on the Sink Day.
It's also the birthday of somebody I went to high school with. So I said happy birthday to them on Facebook.
It's also the birthday of someone that was in the musical with me and someone that was in Rocky Horror with me in Minneapolis.
Yep.
And if we go Google, we could probably list off people who have birthdays today for the rest of the show.
But we're not going to.
But we could.
But we're not going to.
Okay, so wackiness aside...
Yeah, this past Saturday morning, Sarah and I had to go take our cat Chewy to the vet, and we kind of, you know, knew this was coming. She wasn't getting any better with the fluid around her lungs, so we had to have her put to sleep, and that was very sad. Sarah and I were in the room when they did it, and, it really sucks a lot, because... It'd be a lot easier to deal with if we knew that, you know, if Chewy were much older, or if Chewy were, like, in some kind of direct physical pain, you know, it'd be something that'd be a lot easier to accept, I think. But, you know, Chewy, you know, was having trouble breathing. She was doing that kind of abdominal breathing thing, and, you know, I'm sure it was uncomfortable for her. When, you know, basically in order to keep her at an adequate comfort level, we would have had to take her in every, like, 7 to 12 days to get that fluid drained, and that would have cost, like, yeah, several hundred dollars each time, and, you know, she and I just can't afford that, and,
yeah,
you know, Chewy was at least 10 years old. You know, she was a good cat.
She had a good life. That's not that young.
Yeah, both Chewy and Snowshoe were rescue cats, and you know, so we don't know what her life was before there. And if you've seen the pictures of her, she had the tops of her ears were missing, and so was most of her tail. We think that they were surgically removed by a vet after, you know,
frostbite
or something. At least that's what we're hoping it was, and not something much more horrible because. I think they both came from a cat hoarder house, and, you know, we just hope that there wasn't any major abuse.
Or cat, yeah, fights could have been, too.
But, you know, Sarah's had Chewy for the past 5 or so years, and Chewy's been a good kitty, very cuddly, and...
Yeah, she's really soft.
You know, it's like every night when I get done doing what I'm doing, and I go sit on the couch, Chewy always curls up by me, and... I'm really going to miss her a lot. And, in fact, you know, the day it happened, I called and talked to Carrie, and I was upset, and I actually said to her, I'm not sure if I'm going to be up for doing a podcast this week, so...
Yeah, he asked if I would do it without him.
Yeah,
I said I would if he really wanted me to, but...
Yeah.
Luckily, it didn't come down to that.
But, for the record, I do want that to happen at some point in the future. I want there to be an episode with you, and then you find another co-host, and... The episode comes into creation without me being involved, other than possibly doing editing and maybe.
Well, you know. I would like to do that, but, you know, I'd rather do it, like, for a specific reason and not just because, you know, just to do it.
I'm sure something will probably come up where I'll be too busy, you know.
Yeah, I actually lost an important cat out of my life, too, since the last episode. My mom had to put her cat to sleep. He was 21 years old, and he looked it. And his original name when we first got him when I was 13. No, actually, I was 12. No, I was 13 at the time because we got him when he was about 1 year old. I named him Nikki. Then for years upon years upon years, we called him Kitty. We never called him Nikki. And his kitty, being named Kitty, ended up getting morphed later on by my mom's former fiancé into Kittens. So the oldest cat I've ever seen in my entire life was known as Kittens. And
it's kind of like when you got a really big guy and you name him Tiny. You know, like, hey, Tiny, come over here.
Yeah. Yeah, and he, you know, he had, over the last several months, he wouldn't eat the dry food that she fed him, so she had to start feeding him canned food, and then he stopped eating canned food, and he'd only eat treats, and then he would stop eating those, and he was only 5 pounds, like, 1 ounce by the time she brought him in to put him down, and, you know, he wasn't jumping up on anything anymore, and it was, I mean, he didn't have a disease or anything, he was just basically old age, but, you know, he's getting to the point where he would refuse to eat and sustain his own life, so it was the best thing to do to put him down. I actually paid for it. But, you know, it's not that emotional for me now, but, I mean, because I haven't been spending that much time with him, but he's probably the cat, you know, I've spent the most time with in my life, and he was a really good cat, like, he was really cuddly, really smart, really, you know, stayed out of trouble most of the time, and just really, really awesome cat that even, like, all the cat haters in my family loved. So, rest in peace to Kittens and Chewy, two wonderful cats.
And even Stephanie's brother Brian had to put his cat to sleep too.
In the last 2 weeks?
Yes. His name was Jazz. He was also very, very old and he was failing. And he was like one of those cats that, like, you know, is deeply devoted to, you know, his owners, but if anyone else comes by, it's like, you know, hissing and swatting and stuff.
Yeah.
And Stephanie, being the way she is, of course, she, you know, especially when she, you know, lived with her brother for a while, she would be like, oh, come here. And she'd, like, pick up Jazz and, like, be holding her. It's like, you're a kitty. And Jazz is like, you know, like, I don't like this. Put me down. And Steph is like, no, I'm cuddling you. You're a cat. That's what's going to happen. And I think Jazz kind of became acclimated to, like, fine, I guess I have to deal with you doing this. Fine, you know. But
kind of like Buffy dealing with you.
At first, yeah. I mean, so it's like, but whenever I'd reach down to, like, it was kind of a fun game. I reached down to pet Jazz, and Jazz would, like, swipe really hard with a paw, so it would just be like hitting my hand. Like, uh-huh. So I just kind of keep doing that over and over again.
Oh, because
so, like,
he didn't have claws?
I don't think he had claws.
Can have if you're doing this game with them.
Yeah, so it was just kind of like, poom, 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 and I could sometimes get it going really fast, so it would be like, poom, 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 you know? Like, so, you know, so it's kind of like that whole thing with celebrity deaths come in threes, apparently. People putting down cats for various old age and health reasons apparently comes in threes now as well. So
yeah.
Anyway, if you got a pet that you love, go pet your pet and tell them that you love them.
Yeah, I have the greatest cats on earth. Buffy and Willow are my loves, and I kind of like Josh too. But
I was going to mention also just on the topic of the cats, we made an appointment to have Snowshoe checked out on Saturday by the new vet, and, you know, because we want to make sure that we want to get her all caught up to date on shots and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Snowshoe's doing all right. I think Snowshoe's a little confused and doesn't quite fully understand what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, Sarah made a comment the other day that, you know, in a few weeks, once we know that Snowshoe's, you know, all caught up with shots and everything like that, that we'll start looking around at, you know, rescue facilities in the area to try to find a new cat.
Yeah.
So,
So,
that's that.
Yeah, I have appointments for Buffy and Willow, too, to get updated on their shots and to see if Buffy to figure out Buffy's digestive system problem, which still is there. And also, we're going to get them microchipped because I'm freaking paranoid about, you know, the door opening. And, you know, Buffy knows how to get out of her collar easily. And I know Willow got out of her collar before, before we ever had her. So, you know, I really want to get the microchip so that, you know, I won't freak out as much if they were to get out. So, what else has been going on in your life?
Well, the same day we had to, you know, put Chewie down, it was kind of, we sort of planned it this way. Sarah's parents came to visit later that day, so it was nice having them around. They are both wonderful people. And the main reason of their visit was they had gotten some new furniture and had an old love seat, and they didn't want to just throw it out, so they brought the love seat out here so that we could have another piece of furniture in our living room. And it's great because ever since we got the love seat, you know, Sarah and I, for the most part, are still sitting on the couch that was there before, and Snowshoe sits in the love seat. It's like, this is my own little domain.
The Snowshoe has his own couch now.
Yeah.
And it has a bed.
Yeah, there's a fold-up bed in it, which is great for, you know, if people come to visit us or whatever. And the other thing I wanted to mention is I got this book. It is called But I Can't Do Anything Else, The Art of Rob Schraub. And it is a book about basically with all these awesome images of art he's done for various projects, you know, that he had worked on over the years that, you know, never came to be.
Yeah.
And it's just cool to look through and see all this concept art that he made that's, like, just freaking amazing.
I heard Chris Hardwick refer to him as Rob Schraub.
Yeah, which kind of proves that he doesn't really know Rob personally too well. If he didn't know that that was how his name was pronounced. But I don't know. I'm hoping that maybe thanks to that whole, you know, Nerd Melt thing, maybe Rob will finally appear on Nerdist, because I'd love it if both Rob and Dan Harmon appeared on Nerdist.
Yeah.
So I wanted I wanted to read the foreword from this book because it's kind of a positive thing, and maybe it'll inspire other people, and maybe you'll go out and get the book too. I bought it from a comic shop here in Chicago. You can order them online. In fact, you can order autographed copies online. But I wanted to buy it from a comic shop because I wanted to support local comic shops, because everywhere I turn, I'm seeing Borders closing and Blockbuster closing.
Yeah.
It's like, I want local businesses, especially independent ones, to stay in business. So, you know, spend some money there instead of buying it online. Anyway.
Boot.
This is the foreword where Rob says, I tell stories with pictures. Whether I'm directing a show about gay nerds or writing a screenplay with a talking motorcycle, it always begins with drawing. So when I moved to Hollywood in 1997 to pitch TV and movies, my sketchbook came along too. This collection contains my favorite pieces from the last decade. Hope you like it. Let me bum you out a moment. Every drawing in this book has one thing in common: rejection. Anyone in the entertainment industry will tell you for each idea that breaks through, many, many more do not. Story development is difficult, sometimes incredibly painful. Days and nights toiling over character arcs and plot points, arguments with Harmon whether the monster house should be killed with dry ice or a basketball, filling up notebooks with drawings of pot-smoking aliens and monster sea monkeys, only to be told, eh, no thanks. It's heartbreaking and enough to make you want to jump on a pointy thing and die. If you're lucky enough to get your, quote, lady who sings about poop show, unquote, on TV, the pointy things don't stop. In fact, they get bigger and pointier. What idiot in their right mind would decide to do this for a living? Laying your naked soul before apathetic executives, critics, YouTube comment sections, indifferent Comic-Cons, and soulless rating systems. Why do it? Why go through such pain and agony? Why don't you do something else? The answer is always the same. But I can't do anything else! And it's the best job in the world. Once in a while, the stars align, you punch through, and then it happens. Applause, laughter, and smiles big enough to hear. If you are a creative waffling on the sidelines because you're scared of rejection, knock it off. Better yet, look forward to it. Rejection is a part of the professional artist's life. Take comfort in the fact that success is governed by the laws of averages. Every time you fail, you're one step closer to nailing it. So get to work, write a bunch of stories, sing a dozen songs, and fill up some sketchbooks. What choice do you have? You can't do anything else either. Thank God.
That was beautiful.
So, yeah, you can look through this book later if you want. But yeah, it is cover price $24.99. It's a nifty book. It's about, well, it's a book. it's actually a hardcover book, and it's about 9 by 12.
See, yes. Hardcover.
So spend your hard-earned money for the
hardcover book by Rob Schraub.
Now I'm going to see who just called me that I missed. Oh, it was Sarah. Shall I call her back?
Not important.
Okay.
It's really not.
All right. So, okay, Secret Garden time.
Oh, yeah, so there's not much to say about my life in the past 2.5 weeks since we recorded our last podcast other than the Secret Garden. I was in the Secret Garden. The music is by Lucy Simon, I want to say. It's like Carly Simon's sister, which I didn't realize until recently. And I don't remember the name of the lady who wrote the libretto. And I don't remember the name of the lady who wrote the original book. But we had 4 performances of The Secret Garden. The first one was a week ago on Wednesday, and then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. We had 2 different casts as far as 3 of the main roles were played by 2 different people each. So, like, those 3 roles were different on Wednesday and Friday than they were on Thursday and Saturday. It was a lot of fun. It was awesome. This is me trying to talk to future Carrie. See, here's the problem with these shows. The rehearsal process is tedious, and the very thought of giving up an entire, like, week and a half of your frickin' life to a show is, you know, dreadful. So I really, the only reason I even signed up for this show was because it was kind of an excuse for Josh to do what he's doing now, which is to go to the Black Sun Games game shop, which is near to Northeastern Illinois University. And I had mentioned a funny story from that game shop before on this podcast. So it just got made it, since we are still a one-car family, which we really need to fix. But until we do, we're still a one-car family, so it was really the only way for him to get into the city and go to that gaming thing on every Wednesday night was if I was going to that rehearsal every Wednesday night. And so we'd ride home together every Wednesday night. And so that was, like, kind of the, like, driving force behind me deciding to do the show. But, you know, actually, once you get to the point of being in costume, doing, you know, full makeup, doing full hair, and, like, you know, being stuck in a small dressing room with a lot of women for a week, you know, that's when it becomes awesome. And it takes a lot of hard work and tedium to get to that point, but it was totally worth it. And I don't know about you, but Josh and Jesse Wright and Anne Sienna all thought that The Secret Garden was the best show they ever saw at Northeastern. And I'm not sure, but I thought it was a pretty darn good show, and I really enjoyed it. And wish I could have sat out in the audience for one of them, but
did you hear the Fumpcast? I know you said you did.
I listened to that on Friday
with
Dan
talking about, you know, our old conversations, like, who's that in the audience? Why does he have a burrito?
Yeah, that was awesome. You guys really need to listen to that Fump podcast from a week ago, because it was really hilarious.
Episode 44.
Yeah. But yeah, no, these shows are actually worth it, Carrie, and you should always be in them, Carrie, and don't make excuses to not be in them, Carrie. Because it's what, I mean, it's really what I do best. You know, this was technically a musical, not an opera, but it's kind of operatic, am I right? So,
yeah.
And parts of it. So, I mean, you know, I mean, this is really, it's not the only thing that I can do, unlike Rob Schraub, but it's pretty much the thing I do best out of anything. So, I should really do more of that kind of thing. Not really much else to say about the past 2.5 weeks. I, okay. you know, I'm still on Foursquare, and yeah, so I'm not going to try to invent things to say.
All right, well, let's play a song. And OMG, it's a song by Flat 29 featuring the great Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Yeah.
What are the chances of that?
This song is awesome.
So here's the song, and it happens right now.
Nourishing, flavorful, butter drink. It's time for a tasty and refreshing snack.
Chicken wings.
Let's go to the lobby.
How many times I gotta tell ya?
I get it supersized. There's nothing on the radio or on the TV, so I'm going to the cinema to catch a movie starring Pitt and Clooney as handsome spies with Angelina Jolie and a load of other guys. Called up to see how much the tickets would be and got it free by pretending to be an OAP. When I got there, I was feeling hungry like Pac-Man, so I made a beeline for the snack stand.
Good afternoon, I really hope you are enjoying your stay. My name is Carrie, can I get you any snacks today?
I'll have some popcorn, inner tubs are big, you need a ladder, a bucket of Coke, double the size of my bladder, and this bag of pick and mix that I filled with jelly snakes.
Anything else?
Yeah, and have one for yourself. I'm feeling pretty generous, so how much will it be?
Well, sir, that comes to $48.50.
What? There's no way I can afford it, and if I would have thought it, I never would have bought it. Better cancel everything I got so far. I think I left my money in the car.
Everything I do in life, and I don't mean to be crude, comes down to practicality, sex, entertainment, and food. And to me, the last two, they go hand in hand. So at the movies, I attack the frackin' snack stand. I order items off the menu in a kind of a blur, till I black out and then wake up and then find out what they were.
For the large pretzel bites and Wisconsin cheese, take this saw and hand over an arm and a leg, please.
Soon I start to get worried about going into debt.
The Whoppers cost a testicle.
Which, the right?
No, the left. And if you want the crunchy nachos, either spicy or mild, then simply hand over your family's firstborn male child.
What the hell, I just came here to watch a cartoon mouse. I shouldn't have to go and get a second mortgage on my house. I'll surely miss the movie if the usher kicks my tail out, so I ask Barack Obama for a federal bailout.
Hey, Luke Ski, this is daylight robbery.
Seriously, this is the way to run AMC. So Dan, my man, here's the plan. Voila, we're gonna start sneaking snacks into the cinema.
When I want snacks at the movies, I won't pay their extravagant fees. Just can't afford it, I'm being extorted. I'll commit to a life of crime, buy tricks at the five and dime, and I'll be sneaking snacks into the cinema.
Popcorn at the movies is the ultimate snack.
But if you buy it at the supermarket in a multi-pack, it's just as nice, about a tenth of the price. And if you stick it in your bag, no one will look at you twice.
I bought oversized pants, quadruple XL, so I can fill them up with cookies and no one can tell. Donuts in my pocket, cause that's my style. They got me making roasty look like the bakery aisle.
I always keep a can of soup in my hip flask. Nobody asks, I stick it in my sock and walk straight past. And cover up my hands in cottage cheese and tell securities that I got a terrible disease.
I got a foot long hot dog, one in each sleeve.
Hey, be careful with the ketchup or we'll be asked to leave.
And I need a disguise for this bag of french fries.
Man, just tape them to your face and leave a space for the eyes.
I got a pint of piri piri and a holy grail chalice hidden in a fuzzy soldier hat from Buckingham Palace.
Hey, I see you too with that food there.
Wanna share?
Sure, they don't pay me enough to care.
When I want snacks at the movies, I won't pay their extravagant fees. I'm feeling pensive, they're so expensive. The employees will never guess. Buy some chips at Tesco Express, and I'll be sneaking snacks into the cinema.
I ate five Christmas hams watching Silence of the Lambs.
I ate some vindaloo watching Iron Man 2.
I ate sugar-free gelato while watching Chicago.
I ate some bruschetta watching Viva Vendetta.
I ate a beef vlog watching Princess and the Frog.
I ate a Jimmy John's porker watching Rocky Horror.
I ate a whole loaf of bread watching Dawn of the Dead.
I ate flan on and on watching Tron and Black Swan.
When I want snacks at the movies,
I ate a planet of grapes, so watching Planet of the
when
Apes.
I want snacks at the movies.
I ate seven strips of bacon watching Kevin Bacon.
Let me up, I have no regrets. Long as I have my raisinets, and I'll be sneaking snacks into the cinema.
I ate a cheese souffle watching Groundhog Day.
I ate a cheese souffle watching Groundhog Day.
And then I ate a cheese souffle watching Groundhog Day.
I ate a juicy peach watching The King's Speech.
I could sneak in more food if my leg was prosthetic.
Want a milk dud?
No, dumbass, I'm diabetic.
Ladies and gents, our feature film today, The Smurfs 3D, directed by Michael Bay.
No!
What the?
Oh, thanks, guys. Is this your idea?
Whose idea was...
Lame.
Carrie, I'm not going to see a chick flick directed by the biggest moron in Hollywood.
Nourishing, flavorful, butter-drenched.
Yeah, Dan, you fucking kick ass. That rules so much.
So that song is Sneaking Snacks Into the Cinema by Flat 29 with the great Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Yes. I only actually wrote two of the lyrics that made it into the song. I was going to write my own verse, but by the time I decided to do that, the song was getting so unwieldily long that I was like, yeah, I can't do that to the listeners. Make a 7-minute
song.
Yeah,
my initial estimates on the length of the song was 5.5 minutes, and Dan got it down to 4.5 minutes.
Yeah,
so
that's where my other contributions to the lyrics writing went, was in that.
So there's about
minute that got cut.
So the part of the song where it's like we're listing off all the foods we snuck in the final, you know, I ate 5 Christmas hams watching Silence of the Lambs. There's about 12 more lines like that of...
You should read them on this podcast.
Well, I don't know. I think I might want to save them.
Use them for something else?
In case... Well, plus, because there's that, plus there's the whole thing they recorded with Charlie and Rich that we haven't even heard of. They recorded a little kind of at the movies intro, like, yeah, talking about the fake movie Handsome Spies.
Are you hoping you can talk Dan into making an extended version of the song?
Well, I'm not sure what I want to do. Maybe we want to, if we could take that audio of both the unused lyrics and that at the movies thing, and then put that out for, you know, for fans to do remixes with, you know, so that we could have the, extended remixes.
And then we'd all feel unimportant.
Yeah. You know, so I don't know. That material will see the light of day one way or the other between us and Dan. We'll figure something out that makes the most sense to do. But okay. Anyway, I wanted you to, since you weren't able to be on the Funk podcast, I wanted you to talk about the song, you know.
But I already talked about it on the Funk podcast.
Well, now that it's been out, do you have any new thoughts or
bacon? Well, you were counting on me to have more things to say about the song that hasn't already been said. You had a towel. You had the little divider thingy used to live at my house, and a towel. And
actually, several towels.
Several towels.
Made a quick makeshift, you know, studio space, because I have this bad habit of forgetting to do that when I record songs, of putting up any kind of an audio buffer so that my vocals
don't... there's not room echo noise.
Yeah, like reverby stuff that can makes you so like, oh, that microphone is in the middle of a room that has plaster walls, and people who have... audio genius ninja ears can like tell exactly what type of room I'm in when I'm recording.
Yeah, and there's more people with audio genius ninja ears than we'd like to admit. Is that the name of this podcast?
Possibly.
Audio genius ninja ears.
Write that down.
Dan Pate definitely has audio genius ninja ears, and if he didn't, he wouldn't be able to make a song with such high production standards like that.
Yeah, so, you know, that song is awesome. I hope Dr. Demento plays it.
I was trying to look for showings of the King's Speech so that I could go and eat a juicy peach, but there was none. I was hoping that since it won Best Picture, it might still be in some theater somewhere.
I still haven't seen it.
No, I haven't seen it either, and I want to see it, but most importantly, I wanted to eat a juicy peach during it. So I'll have to settle for bringing it to Jimmy John's Porker to Rocky Horror one of these days, which sucks because I don't really want to eat a Jimmy John's Porker.
By the way, I went to see Super at the Music Box.
Yeah.
It is such an incredible movie. It is so awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's the one that they've been pushing on Nerdist.
Yeah, because I intentionally didn't listen to that episode of Nerdist so that I could go see Super first and then watch it.
Which, who's in it again,
Super? Rainn Wilson, you know, Dwight.
Yeah, Dwight.
From The Office. So it's him and Ellen Page. I think she's the chick from Juno. And Kevin Bacon and Liv Tyler are the four main characters in it.
Yeah.
So, but God, it is such an incredibly good movie.
So, it's and basically... you have met Chris Hardwick, who interviews people from Super who are in a movie with Kevin Bacon.
Yay! So yeah, I just figured I'd mention that as long as you're talking about movies. So my movie snacking thing is like you know, other than my usual things of like, oh, I'm going to sneak a burrito in or whatever, you know, or get pretzel bites. Lately, I've been craving Whoppers, malted milk balls lately a lot. And it's like, I'll go to the movie theater and I'll, you know, kind of be saving up my you know, my calories for the day, trying to be like, oh, you know, I'll save up calories and I'll go get a box of Whoppers. And then I'll get to the movie theater and for some reason the theater won't have Whoppers, or they'll be out and I'll be like,
no.
And it's like, it bothers me so much that I can't think of an alternate candy that I'd want to eat instead, and I just give up.
You know what I love about Whoppers is, like, if you want to make them last, I like sucking on a Whopper for a long time until it starts to melt in your mouth, and mm-hmm. it gets all, like, crumbly and melty and awesome. no coincidence that the guy who is dressed as a chef from South Park at Gen Con, his chocolate salty balls were actually Whoppers.
Well, that's very awesome.
So I like to suck on chocolate salty balls.
So anyway, Sneaking Snacks into the Cinema, I'm really happy with the way it came out. Dan is an amazing, super, as we said before, audio genius, ninja ear producer of things which are cool. So you can hear the full interview on the creation of the song over at the Funny Music Podcast, episode 44.
We love Dan,
yes.
And Flat 29, but yes, especially Dan.
So, okay, Carrie had the idea of discussing video games that we like that we are currently playing.
Yeah, so this isn't like a whole retro thing of video games. I guess that would be another topic for another day. So, I don't know if I've mentioned this on this podcast or not. Please stop me if I have. I know I've mentioned it on the Pot of Destiny. But have I mentioned on this podcast Vacation Quest, the Hawaiian Islands?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, I probably should, because I've spent hours and 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 hours on this game since I bought it a couple months ago. It's a pop cap / spin top game, and it's only for PC, and all it is various images from Hawaii, like a boat, or like, you know, like a boat docked on the shore, or like a hotel room with, you know, a view of the beach outside, or like a little like shop, a little kiosk with items for sale, or, you know, a beach or an underwater view, or a Oahu bike trail view, or all these different view, like really detailed, you know, artwork of Hawaii that, you know, like one or two of them almost look like photos. They're so detailed, and they're just full of items, and the object of the game is to find the items on the list. And I'd started off in vacation mode, so and you're sitting there listening to like the most relaxing Hawaiian instrumental music you could hear, with like these, you know, soft bongos and, you know, and it's like, you know, I've been playing it as like a escapism relaxation kind of thing, and it's really cool, and I hope they make more Vacation Quest games, but I'm sure this is the only one that would take place in Hawaii, so I don't know if I'll go run out and get those other ones. Because I tried to find, like, the next Vacation Quest to replace Vacation Quest after I played, and I tried out a couple different things that just really didn't replace it for me. So now I'm just playing it through in non-vacation mode, so where I'm actually timed.
Ah.
But now I know where half the things are, so So that's the big one. I also play a lot of Bejeweled Blitz, the Facebook game. And, of course, I fucking love Angry Birds. I definitely need to download the Easter version, because it says something about find all the golden eggs. And I love the golden eggs. That's, like, my favorite thing to do in Angry Birds, is to unlock and play the golden eggs screens. So, definitely gonna have to download the Easter version if that might have more golden eggs than most versions. And haven't played much Plants vs. Zombies anymore, but it's still something that I have love for. So What are you playing?
Well, I've too have been playing Angry Birds. I actually wanted to mention Steph decided to she wanted to get a new phone, and her contract ended with Verizon, and she kind of was unhappy with Verizon for various reasons. So she switched over to, I think, U.S. Cellular or something, but she got some kind of, I don't know what model of phone she got, but she got one that she can play Angry Birds on. So she's just now starting to play Angry Birds, and she's all happy with it.
Yes.
But yeah, I have all three versions of Angry Birds. I haven't downloaded the Easter levels yet. But I've been playing the Rio version. I still haven't seen that movie yet, but just because I kind of got bored probably one day at Key Lime Cove after I beat all the levels, I went back and started trying to get 3 stars on all of them, you know, for the Rio version. So it's hard to describe the way that the thing is divided up.
I have a hard time, like, getting the 3 stars on anything unless it just happens that way.
Yeah, sometimes that just happens accidentally, and that's totally awesome when it happens accidentally. Like, on your first try, it's like, oh, apparently that was exactly what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, so I haven't played Plants vs. Zombies in a long time. It's been kind of, you know, inkling in the back of my mind, like, you know, I should go back and play some more of that. That would be fun. As I've mentioned before on the show, I got the game Epic Mickey for Christmas, and I beat it. I got all the way through the game and won at least once. There's certain kind of challenges and things to the game that when you win it,
like achievements.
Yeah, I like certain achievements, certain goals and tasks that, you know, there's basically, you know, different possible outcomes to say, like, you know, oh, well, you know, all these different various happy things, happy endings could have happened. And because, you know, I went this route, I got a happy ending on this storyline, but because I didn't complete this thing, there wasn't a happy ending on another storyline or whatever. Yeah. So part of me kind of wants to go back and play through it again just so that I can accomplish all those things and also, you know, look for more hidden cool stuff because, you know, the Disney nerd in me, you know, really, really dug that game. So
I've been sorely tempted to try Hello Kitty online, but I don't know if I'll ever do it.
I'm hankering to go back to Galloping Ghost Arcade.
Yeah,
I mean,
Galloping Ghost is awesome.
After hanging out at Dave and Buster's, I mean, it's like...
Also, just a couple days ago, I got to hang out in the basement of Eugene Jarvis, where he has a bunch of... you know, it's like a little mini arcade where it's free, like totally free, not like Galloping Ghost free, and playing Cruisin' USA and Robotron and some pinball games and several other things.
Yeah, it's like Dave and Buster's. There's enough games there that I like that I could spend a decent, you know, hour or two at least there if I was just, you know, there by myself. But yeah, but it doesn't compare when it comes to life. Galloping Ghost, there are so many games there that I could just, you know, if like Sierra ever...
Did they have Robotron?
They might. I don't specifically remember it being there, but it
neither
wouldn't.
Do I.
Anyway, it's like if if I could, if, like, you know, Sierra was gone and it was, you know, a weekday, I had nothing going on, you know, responsibilities, nothing I had to get done, I'd love to just go out and spend a whole freaking day hanging out there playing games.
We should find out if they're open on Easter Sunday and maybe have our little Dementia Family Chicagoland Easter dinner near there.
That'd be cool. It's pretty far south, though. It's not impossible to get to, but it takes at least a good half hour from here to get to it, so...
Yeah, that's not that big of a deal.
Anyway, I'm trying to think of other video games I've been playing lately, and to be honest, I kind of haven't been because I've been so wrapped up in various projects. I just kind of go from one project to the next, and, you know, what downtime I have, I usually am just watching shows on my TiVo or watching shows on, you know, DVD or Netflix or whatever because I'm trying to, slowly amass taking notes on them for songs for the album, which is coming out in August.
Yeah.
So,
as usual, watching things is, really low on my priority list and the list of thing I have time for. But I have, in the last month or so, I watched 50 First Dates just because it took place in Hawaii. And I watched the first episode of Farscape because Josh feels like going through that series again. So, have you ever watched Farscape?
I've watched the first episode. I know I watched at least one other episode in my life. But
yeah.
Despite it being a sci-fi show and being made by the Jim Henson Company, it just never really hooked me enough to want to continue watching it, like, you know.
Yeah, the first episode wasn't like, OMGs, I really, you know, it was no, like, first episode of Heroes or anything, where you're just like, OMG, I want to keep watching this thing forever, you know, but, I mean, you know, I'm willing to keep giving it a chance.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain shows like that that just have not been able to grab my interest enough for me to get into them. You know, Farscape and Stargate, you know, are at the top of that list.
Yeah.
You know, for me. Anyway.
Josh has all of Stargate on DVD, and before he ever met me, the only geeky con he'd ever gone to was a Stargate convention.
So, shall we move on to the next song?
We shall.
Okay.
What? Oh, yeah, I'm holding. What kind do you want? Oh, I got all kinds of stuff, man. Check this out. Okay, this weed here, this is called the Marmalade Orangutan. It's grown in Sumatra. It's your boy smuggled into the dairy with his sandwich bag. Just smell it. Jars. Yeah, smell that dairy. Oh, I got the munchies so bad. There was no food in the house. Ooh, that was just like a bag. Bags on me. Green bags. And you'll be all like, I wanna be a packer. Well, it's 4:20 and I got a pack of zigzags in a big bag of the chronic. When it's rolled up, you can hit that, then roll another spliff. Why not? The day has just begun. Then take another hit right to the face, just because. When I smoke, all the jokes, they provoking all the laughs. Another toke, I go for broke until it's choking out my ass. Got another round, it's on its way, I smoke forever. Honestly, you taught me about philosophy and the focus on astronomy. Get off of me, I gotta be a part of some big prophecy. Apologies, it's all a part of my superstone psychology. I'm seeing past the shit the government serves up like colostomy and monopoly. I mean that more than possibly. You gotta see the world we living in is just a pack of lies. You need to open up your third eye and really realize you've all been capitalized. You'll try to defy the laws and ask why. Then more disguise or deny replies. Should be legalized and not demonized. Fuck the clowns, they hot till I die. Something good is in so mad. Whoa, would you want this stuff legalized? If you wanted to be loved, guys, every single time you smoke it. Well, I'm assuming that question's hypothetical, cause never have I heard that weed makes one a homosexual. Would I party like a festival, go right for my dude's testicles? I don't have an answer for you yet, but when I do, I'll let you know. But you would only be gay while you're smoking the ganja. It will still take you high to Nirvana. But you would stop listening to the dead. Instead, you would listen to Madonna. Well, that seems pretty fair. I mean, it only makes some sense. It shouldn't be all permanent and have dumb gay long-term effects. Like make me wanna have gay sex. Destroy my buddy like T-Rex. Cause I like girlies, they're the best. They all have vaginas and some have breasts. They're hard to impress. Their hair is a mess.
I ramble and babble. I'm under some stress. I need a guy who's built for success.
I think about it personally, I don't need your hoes. You're the reason that I turn gay. Fuck you, let's move with my bros.
Yes, he decided to be so very, very gay. He wants to swing the other way. He likes the feel of
the man. Yes,
he wants to
smoke
a big fat
like, wait, I'm kind of annoying.
I'm
like,
close
a lot.
We
got a whole
neighborhood.
Got
high on the bike.
Reefer, reefer.
forgot what you asked me. Can you repeat the question, Your Honor?
And now it's time for...
By Devo Spice, visit DevoSpice.com, reported by the internet from all over the world, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove an innocent, cause it makes it so to me that you incriminate.
Our first three stories were submitted by Kyle Hudson. This story comes from my ancestral home of Poland. I know, it seems hard to believe that anyone in Poland would ever do anything stupid. Nonetheless, this happened. A resident of Oleka, upon leaving for work, discovered that his car wasn't working. He crawled under the car to fix it, which led to gasoline spilling on his clothing. Upon fixing the car, he got in and started driving to work. Then he decided to smoke a cigarette. His clothes caught fire, which caused him to run off the road and hit a tree. He was taken to a hospital to have his burns treated. He should only miss a couple of weeks at his job for the Polish military, putting screen doors on their submarines.
Keith Gruber, a 49-year-old Swan Lake, New York man, was sent to jail without bail Monday after authorities said he showed up an hour and a half late for a court hearing on a felony DWI charge. If that wasn't bad enough, Gruber was intoxicated and was carrying an open can of Busch beer and had four more cans in a bag when he went through the courthouse security check, police said. Gruber appeared Monday before Sullivan County Judge Frank Labuda, who asked him if he enjoyed his liquid lunch. Gruber said he did. Then he said he was sorry. Labuda sent him to jail with no bail.
In another case of don't show up to court doing the very thing you're trying to beat the rap on news, in San Luis Obispo, California, Michelle Elaine Ostumian pleaded no contest in January to felony forgery counts. When she arrived for her sentencing, she produced a doctor's note seeking a sentencing delay. When the prosecutor said the note was a forgery, the judge sentenced her to nearly 5 years in prison, ordered her into custody, and she collapsed right there in court. The 41-year-old woman had been free on $45,000 bail.
This story is submitted by Elizabeth Carnes. David Wagner's wife had her lower teeth removed at the dentist one day, so she sent her husband to get her a chocolate shake. Wagner tried to drive his Saturn to a restaurant to fulfill his wife's request, but didn't make it there because he had drank half a bottle of Jägermeister and couldn't find his way out of the trailer park that they live in. After being pulled over, as officers approached the car, Wegman decided to light a cigarette for himself, but it wasn't working. The officers then pointed out to him it was not a cigarette he was attempting to light, but his hearing aid. Noting a strong odor of alcohol, the deputy asked Wagner whether he'd been imbibing, and he said he'd had way too much. When asked to step out of the car, officers noticed that Wagner wore a leg brace and said he had broken a foot. He nearly fell as he stood. I asked him if his swaying was due to his foot or his intoxication, an affidavit states. He said both. A breath test showed Wagner's blood alcohol content was greater than 3 times the legal limit. Wagner was arrested on a DUI charge. This all reminds me of that old Sesame Street sketch.
Ernie, stop! You're lighting your hearing aid!
I can't hear you, Bert! I'm lighting my hearing aid!
And finally, this story submitted by Stephanie Wilde, mainly because this happened in one of the buildings of the apartment complex where she lives in Madison, Wisconsin, because apparently it's their policy to allow stupid criminals to reside there. An unnamed 24-year-old male victim heard of a car for sale while at a local barbershop, so with cash in hand, the victim and girlfriend drove to the apartment. Upon arriving at the Cottage Grove Road address, a woman greeted the victim outside and took him into the apartment. It quickly became apparent to him that no deal for a car was being made, as there were 2 masked men in the apartment, one pointing a gun at him. The victim apparently got so scared that he threw his cash into the air. The robbers then told him to strip naked, which he did before running out the door. He managed to grab a bag from somewhere to cover his groin and ran to his girlfriend's car virtually naked. They later met up with the police at a local restaurant to report the incident. So if you're a lazy and stupid criminal, here's your new plan. Put the word out at local businesses that you have a car for sale for a few $100 cash, and have them give the address where you live to your mark. Have the mark come to where you live, and then rob him at gunpoint where you live! Don't forget to put on your ski masks, because you wouldn't want to give him any vital pieces of information that the police could easily use to figure out who you are, or more importantly, where you live!
People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
Why don't you just post an ad on Craigslist, you dumb motherfuckers?
This has been News of the Stupid.
News!
I'm gonna be mayor.
Yes, you are.
So now we tackle topics that have been pushed off to the side episode after episode after episode after episode, and now it's finally a slow news week, so here they are.
So, dieting. I started a diet. I decided, and I guess I'll... All right, at Mid-SouthCon, I had some pictures taken of myself because the booth next to my table was somebody taking, like, professional pictures of people, and I bartered. He wanted one of my CDs, so I traded that for him taking about a dozen or so photos of me wearing one of my newer bowling shirts. My hair was still long then, and my thinking was, well, I'll get some pictures taken of me, some nice new professional headshots with my hair long, and then I'll go get it cut. So, you know, I did that, and then I got my hair cut, and then the guy emailed me the pictures, and I looked at them all, and I just look so hideously fat and old in these pictures. I don't even want to show them to anybody. That's how bad they look to me. And I can't sit there and pretend like, you know, oh, well, he's just a shitty photographer, you know, or whatever. This is the way I look, you know. Because I remember before we took the pictures, I stopped, I looked at myself straight on in the mirror, I fixed my hair, I looked at myself and I smiled, and I'm like, yes, all right, I look decent, I'm happy with the way I look. And then he took all these pictures, I don't know, maybe it's just because I think they were all from, like, you know, 3/4 degree angles, you know, instead of looking straight on, that it just really accentuated how overweight I am, and, you know, how wrinkly my face is getting with age and with excess fat on my face.
I haven't noticed a single wrinkle.
Well, I will say people lately have made compliments to me at you know, my caricature gigs. Like, you know, someone said the other day they thought I was only 26 or 27.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess it's like, it's weird that I can deal with looking... I'm getting to the point where I can deal with possibly looking old, but I just can't deal with being both fat and old. You know, it's like... I don't know. I always... When I grew up... You know how when you grow up, they have all those, like, you know, special... You know... What did they call those things? I want to say CCD, but I think that's church.
I don't know what you're referring to.
Basically, there would be a woman or a man that would show up once a week, and his class was basically just about teaching interpersonal things. It was kind of like if you could turn the overall everything that's an after-school special into, like, one teacher that shows up and teaches you, you know, be nice to people, you know, be considerate, you know, be blah, 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 you know, just that kind of stuff. I don't know, just like all that stuff and all those kind of, you know, after school special, you know, bullshit things about, you know, treat everyone nice, you know, judge people for who they are on the inside, not on the outside. And then as I got older and had to deal with, like, stupid snobbery bullshit, you know, in the community and the schools I went to, I just kind of made it like, you know, man, I don't, you know, I'm not going to be one of these people who judges people by how they look. I'm going to, it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. It's on the inside that counts. And, you know, screw all you stuck-up snobby jerks for doing blah, blah, blah. You know. So that kind of... I developed this overdeveloped sense of, like, you know, it doesn't matter what I look like.
Mm-hmm.
Which led to, you know, quite honestly, you know, hygiene problems for me. Because, you know, I was hitting puberty big time. And hell, this even followed me as late into, you know, college. Where it's just like, even though I was, you know, showering and using deodorant, apparently I wasn't doing it often enough. Maybe I needed to do it twice a day or something. I don't know. But it was like, you know. So, you know, eventually I kind of got my head on straight with most of that as far as my own personal hygiene goes.
I don't shower every day.
You know. But you,
I'm coming out.
Well,
I don't shower every day.
Well, neither do I.
You don't have to pretend that you showered every day back then.
Well,
my overall point is this. If I had grown up with more of a sense of vanity, I probably wouldn't be overweight today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, it's like, you know, I'm not going to change who I am. Who I am is awesome. You know, everything's perfect. And, you know, I would just, you know, continue to eat, you know. And it's not even like I consider myself a major binge eater who's constantly, you know, like some caricature of, you know, somebody like comic book guy walking around with a bag of chips continually eating. Because, you know, I've never been that kind of a person. But
yeah,
it's, you know, it's just really hit me when I weighed myself recently back in beginning of April. I was 247.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been like a building up nagging thing in my own head. Like, I need to start doing something. I need to change the way I'm living my life. And it finally just, you know, everything hit, you know, that
yeah,
seeing those. And I mentioned this stuff to Shoebox, and he said that he had felt the same way when he saw pictures of himself from MarsCon a year previous.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what inspired him to, you know, get on his, you know, weight loss journey. And so I started. And just because it was the... I needed something quick and easy and convenient and free just to get me started.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Daily Plate website that Shoebox had been using. Actually, Devo Spice had used it too.
Yes.
And, you know, entered in my weight at that time, which was 247. And, you know, my stats on if I wanted to try to, you know, lose 2 pounds a week, you know, here's what my calorie intake should be for a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing that ever since. And I didn't realize... I haven't weighed myself again yet. I'm going to wait till probably a week from tomorrow, the day before I leave for PenguinCon, and mm-hmm. then I'll weigh myself then and then redo the weight thing, and then after that I'll check myself every week like Devo and Shoebox said I should.
Yeah.
So,
not more than once a week. Once. I mean, you could probably get away with
well,
it.
Well, yeah, I was planning on doing it once a month, but then they were both saying, no, you got to do it once a week. So,
I think you could slide by with every other week because, yeah. You know, every week kind of shows you weird trends that every other week might not show you where you're like, why did I gain weight when I was doing everything right? But if, you know, you look at the big picture of 2 weeks, you might end up down.
Yeah.
I think you could slide by with every other week.
Well, in any case, I'm going to wait until the day before PenguinCon to weigh myself again and reevaluate. I'll probably always weigh myself on a Friday because, you know, the weekends is when I do all my work. So Friday morning is the best time for me to weigh myself because I would have, you know.
Yeah, weigh yourself on the same day of the weekend at the same time. You already know that.
So,
so
far, my biggest challenge to myself has been, I've been setting my alarm to get up every morning at the same time and then eating some form of breakfast, whether it's a bowl of cereal or a banana or something. And I've been actually, you know, measuring out my portions when I feed myself so that I can keep track of it on the Daily Plate website.
Have you been hungry a lot?
The first day or two, the hungriness was bothering me a lot. And I mean, hell, I'm hungry right now, and
well,
I've always had this continual feeling of it's like I'm always hungry, even when I'm full, I want to eat more. Maybe that's just compulsive.
I do wish you'd join Weight Watchers because you wouldn't be as hungry because, you know, on the Points Plus program, all fresh fruit and most fresh vegetables are 0 points, so you know. You can, like, go grab a banana whenever you're hungry, and it's awesome, and it works, and it's not a diet. I'm not on a diet, you know. I'm a Weight Watcher. It's my lifestyle. It's part of who I am now, and that's been, you know, a big part of the reason why I've been able to keep off the weight that I lost. You know, 25 pounds, you know, maybe not that much, but I've kept it off for well over a year, and, you know... Now that I've retrained my body to be a different size, you know, I might be able to get down and retrain it to be even smaller at some point. I'm still technically overweight, but, you know, I'm only like 10 pounds into the overweight category, technically.
It's like my kind of goals for myself, or not really goals, I guess, kind of milestones or markers I'm, you know, shooting for, you know, to kind of feel like, yay, I achieved this, is, you know, first one is getting down to 220, second one is getting down to 200, and the third one, and it will be 185, because 185 is the least I've ever weighed as an adult.
You should set smaller goals, you know, so that you can have something to celebrate, you know, in between.
Well,
it's not about the, you know, end game here. It's about
the
little steps along the way.
My overall point is this: that
also,
when I was at
consider your like 5% and 10% marks too, because
okay.
That's a big deal.
Well, when I was at the doctor's office several months ago, getting that overall checkup, I looked at her chart on the wall, and then I also checked this out online a few weeks ago. Like what they say, my ideal weight would be, you know, or should be for somebody, you know, my age and my height or whatever. And, you know, from the 247 mark, they basically said I needed to lose about, you know, 107 pounds
mm-hmm.
to be what my ideal weight would be. And I don't think I'm ever going to get there. So, you know,
if you wanted to.
It's like I said before, the last time in my adult life I attempted to diet was when I was with Steph, and she was on Weight Watchers, and I was essentially sort of doing it with her unofficially.
That's when
I got down to 185, and I just kind of feel like,
The main reason I wish you would join Weight Watchers is because you can meet my personal hero and mentor, Jack, who, you know, thanks to help from Jack, you know, now Ken has lost 20 over 20 pounds, and it's really good to have a teacher, a mentor, a hero, someone to look up to, someone to tell you how to do things right, someone to give you all the tips and tricks. And basically, like, Ken went to his first Weight Watchers meeting extremely skeptical, and Josh was there too, and Josh has also lost weight. Josh looks great. But Ken had all told his wife that there was absolutely no way in hell he was going to walk into that door at Weight Watchers, because once he found out the cost. And, you know, I convinced him to go, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it only takes one meeting with Jack to know that you want to continue to go to Jack's meetings, because he's that awesome. And Josh still goes, and I still go, and Ken still goes, so...
Well, it's mainly a money thing. It's partially a time thing, because, you know, the times you told me he had meetings are generally, you know, inconvenient to what I have going on, especially on Saturdays when I need to get out and, you know, be drawing at places.
Well, he has a meeting at 7 in the morning, 8:30.
Well, whatever. I'll consider it. You can tell me more about it later. But basically, the overall point is I just wanted to get started. Because I knew if I said, well, I'll wait and I'll talk to Carrie and we'll set up things and blah, 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 I was like, no, I need to start now.
I'm glad you started. And Ken did the same thing. Ken started with the Daily Plate before he started Weight Watchers.
Mm-hmm.
So he got a head start on that. But, you know, I mean, I just feel like if you approach it like a diet, then it's going to fail like a diet, because 95% of all diets fail.
Well,
you have to approach it as a total lifestyle overhaul.
Well, yeah. But yeah, it's like they were talking about this on Nerdist. Actually, it was kind of a weird coincidence. The first day I started doing this, I went to check out the fitness area center building thingy that's near my neighborhood. And I paid $5 to use their equipment so I could, you know, walk on a treadmill and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to the Nerdist podcast, and his guest was Tim Ferriss. And
that was a cool podcast.
So that was kind of an interesting coincidence that I was listening to that while I was working out and everything. And they were talking about making small incremental changes.
Yeah.
And not doing big, you know, big overhauls to everything simultaneously, because then you'll fail. So that kind of gave me some insight that I really liked. So basically doing the Daily Plate, getting up at the same time every morning and eating breakfast,
which I don't think is really necessary, but, you know, I'm opinionated like that.
Well, it's, you know, I think it's a metabolism kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't agree.
Okay, if I, you know...
I'm a pretty loyal follower of the Nutrition Diva, though, and... She doesn't think that there's enough scientific evidence on this whole metabolism thing.
The way I've
as far
been,
as
The way
what,
I've
as
been,
far as what you're talking about, time of day and thing.
The way I've been living my life the past few years is I get up, I immediately start working on projects. Next thing I know, it's 9 p.m. I eat a gigantic meal and then lay around and watch TV and then fall asleep.
Yeah.
So that's bad. That hasn't been working. That's probably the reason why I weigh 247 pounds right now.
It's probably so the calories and what you were eating.
Yeah, but if I get up and eat, you know, 3 meals a day instead of 3 meals a day worth of food at once, that's probably better for me.
Yeah, it's better, but, I mean, it's not like you can never do that. You shouldn't do it every day, but it's not going to hurt you to do it from time to time.
Well, anyway. I forgot where I was going with this.
Carrie causes yet another train crash. Derailment. You know, there was a Brown Line derailment yesterday. There's a freaking CTA derailment like every couple of months. It's sad and pathetic. Infrastructure is so sad and pathetic in this country, and especially this metro area. I'm just kind of babbling trying to let you figure out what you meant to say.
Well, whatever. I guess, you know, I'll, after PenguinCon, I'll keep people up to date on what's going on.
I'm behind you, and I want you to succeed in however you do it. And that's, you know, I want you to believe in yourself, and I want you to know that everybody's behind you and everybody believes in you. And it's not going to be as hard as you think it is, especially if you're joining Weight Watchers. But either way, it's not as hard, it's not as daunting as it seems. It's possible. You can lose weight. It can be done.
So another topic there was, I just wanted to kind of, the topic is working on art for a living. And this isn't like ignorant stories. It's just me talking about, you know, it's kind of weird because the caricature stuff is a pretty much straightforward thing, you know? But when it comes to other things, I hate to admit it, I kind of, you know, like when I was in college, there was a book I had to get as one of my, you know, quote unquote textbooks. And it was something about like, you know, how to make a living as an artist, blah, 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 you know? Uh-huh. And whatever class it was connected with, I mean, I know I never read that book. I never paid attention. It's like, I guess I felt like, oh, my career is going in a different direction than this. I'm not going to be sitting around doing freelance art for people. I'm going to be creating TV shows or, you know, whatever the hell I thought I was going to be doing.
You're the typical idealistic early 20s, late teens.
So, you know, I didn't pay attention then, and I certainly don't know what the hell's going on now, but I have this website set up where it's like, come, I'll do cartoons for you, blah, blah, blah. And once again, the caricatures, there's a system in place that makes it fairly straightforward of figuring out, this is what I do, this is how much I should charge. For the regular, just general illustrations, I kind of have no clue what to charge people.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I could be like, well, my work is worth $100 an hour.
Yeah.
You know, okay, so how many hours does it take for me to create something? Well, I don't know. You know?
I think it's okay if you just assign a value to it and just that this is the price, you know?
Because, like, some guy approached me, this is several weeks ago. Some guy approached me at Ed's saying he wanted me to do some artwork for him that, and the way he was describing it, it sounded like he wanted me to do caricatures of people that he knew that were policemen or police women.
Yeah.
Like, enacting these, you know, bizarre, like, almost News of the Stupid style stories that had to do with real things that happened. So I'm like, oh, you know, so it'd be like a black and white caricature with a body I'd charge, you know, or with two people, you know, I'd charge like $20 each for those. He's like, oh, great. Well, I'll get back to you. And then he started emailing me. I eventually got back to him, and I started figuring out that isn't exactly what he wanted. He essentially wanted me to create black and white clip art to go with a whole bunch of real life stories of people being pulled over.
Did we already talk about this on the podcast?
I don't think so.
Oh, we didn't? Okay.
It's,
well, sometimes we talk about things and we're not recording a podcast, and then later I think we talked about it on the podcast.
Well, people will correct us in comments if they've heard this before.
Yeah.
So you know, so basically I did all these black and white drawings based on these like 20 different articles he sent me. And sometimes he had really specific things that he wanted. Other times it was like I had to leave it completely up to my own artistic interpretation of what, you know, like one of the stories was about, you know, somebody using his, you know, pager to, I don't know, pick up prostitutes or something. It's like, so I'm like, okay, I drew a man's hand and he's looking at a pager, and on the pager it says in little digital font XXX. Like that, it's like I couldn't figure out what else to do.
Yeah, so that's clever.
So I sent them to art. He liked it. A couple things he wanted to change is not. He wanted me to like do it in like grayscale, so I had to like put it into Photoshop and like color it in like black and white grayscale. So, you know, and there was a period of time while I was working on these that I wasn't entirely sure this guy was going to pay me. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking to myself, man, if this guy totally screws me over, Shoebox is getting so much awesome clip art from me.
Yeah.
To use. Because some of them I was looking at that I'm like, and I could just picture the little square balloons above them. I'm like, oh, Shoebox is going to have fun with this one.
Yeah.
But in the end, I did end up getting paid.
I've always wanted to see this artwork because I wonder how it compares to your other artwork.
It's on my computer. I could show it to you.
So
that was a weird thing. And the guy basically ended up, he was using that as kind of a demonstration talk to explain legal precedence to officers in training or something. And he kind of pitched this whole notion to me of, well, if I send you tons of these articles and you could do the illustrations for me on spec, which basically means I wouldn't get paid for them, that he would then put together this big book. And then if the book ever got published, then he and I would split the money the book would make 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know if
I doubt if that book would ever get published.
I told him that if I were to take on that project, it would be something I would do in my spare time around other projects I'm working on, with him not realizing I'm always working on projects.
Yeah.
You know, without getting directly paid for it or promised to get paid for it, I don't want to work into my schedule.
Yeah.
Another thing that just happened in the past week is somebody contacted me saying they're publishing a book that's going to be like an ebook on Kindle and stuff, and he wanted to have cover artwork for the ebook.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to ask me how much I would charge for that, and I'm like, I don't freaking know. I don't even know how much real artists get paid for this stuff, and I kind of assumed some people get hundreds of dollars, some people get thousands of dollars. Depends on the medium. Are they doing it with oil?
Just throw a number out there.
I did throw a number out there. I told him, well, my minimum is $100, and then it'll go up from there depending on how complex you want an image, and I'm waiting to hear back from him. So,
okay.
So we'll see what happens. So
that sounds reasonable to me. I don't know.
So it's
I don't know anything about it.
So it's just a weird thing to do. And it's like you know, like the Fump album covers, you know, I'm not getting paid for those. I just do them because somebody needs to do them, you know? And
I've always wanted to do one, but I realized that my artistic drawing skills aren't what I once thought they were.
when Devo Spice asked me, you know, if, you know, he was like looking for somebody to do the cover artwork for Noam Sane because he was going to do it himself, but then ran out of time. And I'm like, all right, I'll do it. And then he's like, okay, so how much you want to get paid? And I'm like, paid?
Yeah.
You know, it's like a friend offering to pay me for a thing. You know, it's
You let him pay you, right?
We worked out a bartering deal. I needed more copies of the Cirque du Soleil album to sell. So it made more sense to do it that way. Because
If the Fump ever wants a cover art that like kind of reminds you of the drawings that Napoleon Dynamite does, then I completely volunteer my services. I've always wanted to do one, but it wasn't until I had done, like, I had like 5 years ago or so, I did a little drawing of what's her name, Lila or whatever, from Angel, the like chick lawyer. I had a thing for her. I thought she was hot and awesome. And, like, I did a drawing of her, and then I looked at that drawing, and I'm like, wow, this is really crappy. And then I realized I don't draw very well.
That might work for something. I haven't given an intense amount of thought to what the cover of the next Fump album might look like because, I don't know, I'm busy with other stuff. But
oh, yeah, and I drew her as a vampire, so she had the little, like, you know, things on her forehead, and... yeah, it looked really stupid. So if you guys ever need a really stupid looking vampire on your cover. Anyways,
so
I'm kind of rambling.
So I guess I'll wrap this up by talking about Sarah had an idea, you know, basically knowing that I go to all these conventions, seeing what other people at conventions are doing. When we were at C2E2, we visited the Dick Blick art supply table, and she saw some Copic sets that were like full color Copic sets.
I don't know what that means.
The markers I use to do caricatures with.
Oh.
Are called Copic markers.
Okay.
So.
Nice.
So she saw this set for sale, that was about, you know, $130-ish, and I knew that they sold these at the store regularly, and she's like, well, why don't you get a set like this for yourself, and then you can do cool things, you know, in color.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she pitched an idea to me, and then when I waited for the next time I got a 30% off coupon from Dick Blick, and mm-hmm. when I got it, I went out and bought this for 30% off. So this plus blank 4x6 white cards, like index cards,
mm-hmm.
plus these frames that, you know, we got for the wedding, these 4x6 frames, which are totally super cheap to get in IKEA.
Mm-hmm. Aww.
What Carrie Aww. Is now looking at is a 4x6 card that I drew a chibi of her on and then colored it in full color using the Copic set and then put it inside a frame. And then I could sell these for like $5.
That's cool.
So now describe the image.
It's me jumping up in the air and singing She's a Butterball Turkey to a big fat white cat with blue eyes, which would be my Willow.
Yes.
Because he'd done a bunch of chibis with Buffy in them, or in fact one of just Buffy, but which I love when she's got her head cocked. But I didn't have any cheapies with me and Willow, so now I have one and it's in a frame and it's adorable.
You can take it to work and just put it on your desk
until
they tell you to take it down because they're jerks.
I could, but I might put it at home instead.
Okay.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you. Aww.
So, yeah, I figured I'd do that as a demo. Perhaps I will scan that really quick before you leave so I can maybe use it as the image for this show.
Okay.
It was either going to...
Which will magically appear on your iPod, hopefully.
Hopefully. Yeah, I was either going to do that or the Handsome Spies poster that Dan made. Did you see that?
Yes. You could do that, too.
All right. So, anyway, so look for that in the future at, you know, my convention appearances, framed, custom-made chibi art right there for you in full color for $5.
Yay.
In a frame, damn it. Buy my stuff so that I don't go broke.
Aw. Got cute little marker shading on Willow and everything.
She's a butterball turkey.
No, it goes, I got a butterball turkey. She's a big butterball turkey. I've got a butterball turkey named Willow. Or as Sarah called her, a fuzzy ham. So now she gets called fuzzy ham a lot, too.
As long as she's some sort of, you know, large meat that you eat on a holiday. So, all right, time to play. This is actually going to be a two-song break because they're both short. The first one was requested by Dice Higgins, or suggested by Dice Higgins, either way. It's by an artist named Mikey Mason, and it's a song called She Don't Like Firefly. After that is a short song from my childhood, which I'm playing to mess with your heads, if you're my age, so that you can sit there and struggle and try to remember what the hell this song is from, and then I'll tell you later. So, yeah. Anyway, so here is Mikey Mason.
She's got a good job. She works hard for the money. She looks like a model, like a playboy bunny. She likes comic books, video games. She even plays Warhammer 40K. But she don't like Firefly. That's why I had to say goodbye. No, she don't like Firefly. She drinks good beer, drives a hybrid car, she's
hotter than her Warcraft avatar. She's got her own dice pick for role-playing games. She even wears steampunk lingerie, but she don't like fireflies. She didn't even cry when Wash died. No, she don't like fireflies. So she's gone, gone, gone. For have to watch this. I just said, shout yeah, you in the breeze, cause she don't like fireflies. She didn't even cry when Wash died. She don't like fireflies. She's gone, gone, gone. No, she don't like fireflies. That's why I had to say goodbye. No, she don't like fireflies.
Complain or raise a fuss, but them birds up there think I'm a motor bus. Oh, gee, there's a bird on me. Oh, don't you see? There's a bird on me. They sit there talking to each other, not to me. And how do I find a way to explain that I'm not a boat or a railway train? Little birdie, fly away. Don't you come back no other day. Shoo. Oh, can't you see? There's a bird on me. Oh, woe is me. There's a bird on me. I'm so darn sick of every feathered friend. Oh, gee. Stop your chirping and quack, quack, quack. Come on, bird. Get off of my back.
What's Luke plugging now?
Yeah.
What's at the fump? What's at that fump?
Butterball turkey!
There's a llama inside my fridge by TV's Kyle. Ba-bomb by Insane Ian, which has a nifty music video also. Sneaking Snacks into the Cinema by Flat 29, Luke Ski, and Carrie D. Vampire Penguins 2011 Re-Panged by Worm Quartet. Kenny's Lament by Nuclear Bubble Wrap. Earworm by Devo Spice featuring MC Lars. Double Dildo Song Jesse Smith. Love that song. And the Super Epic Video Game Medley 2 Championship Edition by Insane Ian. There's two free songs available by Insane Ian right now. And here's the spec.
Ian's just giving it up for free.
Yeah. He's just like that.
Lukeski.com. Things. Buy. Stuff.
Train.
Bad Rapport. Best of 2010. Exists.
Have we sold any more?
No.
So we're still at 11?
Yeah.
Does that count digital downloads?
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yep. Art by Lukeski.com. You can hire me to come draw at parties. I actually recently went over my website and kind of, you know, with a fine-tooth comb tried to look for, you know, errors or corrections or updating things. So the text there has been augmented. Something else I need to do is to go through all of my art files from the past 3 or 4 years and add them to the galleries there, because I've done a crap load of art, and all of the most recent art on there I think is from 2007 or so. I can't remember. Anyway. Well, actually, no, I know there's more recent stuff than that. Anyway, Dr. Demento Show. You can listen to it at drdemento.com. Please listen to it and make requests. Please request the song Snoopy the Dog. It would make me very happy if that song was number one on the top 10 for April. And
you could request Jabba Jive by Carrie Dalby.
Yes. Or Sneaking Snacks into the Cinema by Fat 29 and Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Yeah, I hope Dr. D plays that.
Yeah. So we'll have to wait and find out.
tour dates, PenguinCon 2011. It's penguincon.org as the website. April 29th through May 1st, 2011. Troy Marriott, Troy, Michigan, a suburb of Detroit. MC Frontalot will be performing on Thursday night. The rest of the weekend, we'll have performances by The Great Luke Ski, Devo Spice, Jared and Nathan of Possible Oscar, Insane Ian, Power Salad, Tom Smith, Toy Boat, Frank Hayes, and Derwood Bowen, and many more. Carrie, you have choir dates.
Yes, you can come hear me sing the Mozart Requiem, which is my favorite choral work. Several excerpts from it, not quite the whole thing, on this upcoming Good Friday, which is, let's see, what's today? The 20th, so that would be like April 29th.
Yep.
That would be at 7:30 p.m. at Park Ridge Community Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. For free or suggested donations. Or if you're not going to PenguinCon, you can come check out a full-scale production of the Mozart Requiem with the Park Ridge Community Church Chancel Choir and the Park Ridge Civic Orchestra Choir and the Park Ridge Civic Orchestra performing at the Pickwick I believe 2:30 p.m. on Sunday, May 1st for probably $10 or something. So come check that out. I'm totally sure you're going to do that.
What shade of pink are you wearing today, Carrie?
Well, if I wasn't so cold to have my coat on, you'd see I'm wearing a pale pink shirt with the pink paisley collar. I call this my Pam from the Office style shirt, because Pam from the Office always wears shirts with collars.
Okay, so caricature ignorance stories. There's one I'm actually not going to tell, because I tell it at the very beginning of episode 43 of the Fumpcast. I'm assuming you heard that story, Carrie?
Yes, I've heard all of the Fumpcasts.
Okay, so it happened just before the Fumpcast started. I went to a gig. So if you listen to episode 43 of the Fumpcast, it's just...
Bonus ignorance story.
It's the first few minutes of it. So I'll save time by just telling you to go there to hear that one. Somebody came up to me and said, "Can I get a $5 self-portrait?" And I was thinking, that would be so awesome if people came up to me, paid me $5, and then drew themselves, and I didn't have to do any work. I was like, yes, you can get a $5 self-portrait. Just hand over your $5. A couple more interesting names. Another girl with a man's last name, her name was Henley.
What the fuck?
H-E-N-L-E-Y. I guess her parents were Don Henley fans.
That's horrible.
Okay, now, see this name here, Carrie?
Yes.
Spell that.
T-E-N-T-O-O-N-E.
Now, how would you pronounce that?
Tentune.
Okay. The woman's name is 10 to 1.
Oh, God.
Like three words. The number 10, the word 2, and then the number 1.
That's the worst name ever.
10 to 1. How much do you want to guess her parents were horse race gamblers?
Oh, God. That's horrible. 10 to 1. That's horrible.
Her parents were having sex with no condom, and they were just taking their chances. What are the odds we're going to get pregnant? 10 to 1.
Oh, God.
So... somebody, I was doing caricatures at Key Lime Cove, and a kid who apparently decided he didn't need his final token walked up and like placed his token down on my table, almost like he was leaving a tip for me,
uh-huh.
And then left. And I'm like, okay, that was kind of weird. Fine, I'll take a token, but I moved the token over to like the other side.
Uh-huh.
So it is now my token.
Okay.
So hours later, a completely different set of people, kids, I'm drawing someone, and some kid, this is the second time something like this has happened, kid reaches over, like comes out of nowhere, like lightning fast, like up on my left hand side, reaches over, like puts his finger on the token, and with his head right next to my ear, says, "Can I have this?"
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like he was, like, yelling. It was just that his head was directly next to my ear, and
yeah.
He excitedly,
you know, and he just ninja in, can I have this? And I was in the middle of drawing somebody, and I it's like that whole kind of, you know, emergency brake thing in me snapped on, where it's like I immediately lift my pen from the page and just freeze for a second, because I'm trying to keep myself from going and, like, making a huge mistake line on the paper and then having to start over because some kid next to me is a jerk. And I'm like, no. And then he leaves. But this is the second time at Key Lime Cove a kid has seen something sitting there that they wanted, come up and physically touched it, and then, you know, asked for it or demanded it or said something like, you know, why can't I have this? It's like, what
it's
kind
the entitlement of generation?
It's just like, what it's, but it was almost like, you know, when you're playing tag when you're a kid and it's like, you know, I'm on ghoul, I'm safe, you can't get me because I'm touching this thing. It's like, is that some kind of weird logic there where it's like, well, if I come up and I touch it and then ask him if I can have it, he has to say yes because I'm already physically touching it.
Because it actually works with a lot of adults.
Yeah.
And then they get used to it working and then they keep doing it over and over.
So, yay! Awesome.
Sweet.
I'm going to a Cubs game and I'm taking my girl.
There's four.
Cool. I was going to see if Mom and Amy wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
Since they're fanatical Cubs people.
Yeah.
Cub persons.
Cub persons. That's what you call a Cub fan? Cubs fan? A Cub persons?
Okay. So I guess in conclusion on the ignorant stories, I kind of. Something dawned on me. It's rather obvious, but it finally just dawned on me one of the reasons why I get so angry, especially when children are involved. And it's not even their fault, but when I was young, I was like prodigy boy. I taught myself how to read when I was really young, and I just kind of, you know, plus I had parents who were, you know, who taught me, you know, not to be a jerky kid. You know?
Yeah.
Even if it was, you know, under fear of getting yelled at or getting, you know, smacked by my dad or whatever, you know, it's like one way or another I learned how to behave.
Yeah.
And I also was smart. I knew how to read. I could walk up to a situation, look at things, and figure shit out on my own.
Yeah.
Without having and even if I was a bit confused, I would ask intelligent questions or questions that were more like, oh, so you know, this costs this much, correct? And the person would say, yes, you have correctly ascertained that information, you know.
Because that's how people talk. Yes, you have correctly ascertained that.
You know, so it's not like, you know, so when kids come up and, you know, ask me, does this cost, you know.
Yeah.
Know what I'm saying? Not mean? Does this cost?
Yeah.
Not cost, cost.
Yeah.
Does this cost? You know, and all the other stuff like that, it just makes me so angry because it's like...
People aren't raising their kids right.
You're rude, lazy, and dumb. You know, it just makes me so angry. And I just have to bite my tongue and realize, you know...
It's not their fault.
It's not their fault that they aren't the perfect child that I was. And that's what the overall point here is. Is that I was flawless.
It's no one's fault.
It's no
that they're not as flawless and perfect as you are.
Exactly. Exactly. Or okay. Or as I was back then, you know, at their comparable age. Anyway, that's me being a bastard. Oh, shit, we got comments to get through here before.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Comments.
Comments go at the end of the show. Comments about episode number 38, Dave and Buster's Bad Report. Jared Ringgold says... Not zero. It was a reference to the fifth element. I don't know what he's referring to.
Well, the second. Oh, the second comment, too.
Slightly D says, sorry, Jared, if you don't elaborate more on not zero, I'll have to rewatch the whole movie again. Not that that would be a bad thing. I'm a meat popsicle with a multi-pass.
So, apparently, Jared Perez made some reference to the fifth element that I completely didn't hear.
I heard it, but I didn't know what he was talking about.
Yeah, so I didn't even know what the reference was to begin with. You know, if I had noticed it the first time around, I may have been able to identify it. But both when we recorded it live and when I listened to it again later, I just completely missed it. So, anyway...
Arkel says, I misunderstood earlier. I thought the topic of forced parodies applied to the songs in general, not just the titles. I meant that I thought that the lyrics to Spock Star came across as forced, not the title. In my opinion, though, and let's face it, my opinion does not carry much weight on the interwebs anymore since I made it public that I actually really like the movie Southland Tales. Never heard of it. I've gotten threats of violence for saying that. No, really. I had one guy say he would punch me in the junk if I kept defending the movie. Well, I'll say Southland Tales is the awesomest movie that I've never heard of. So, you know,
yes,
you've got my support now.
The best movie I've never heard of. Kyle Hudson says, I thought it was funny that I actually know two girls with names you mentioned. Emerson is a sweet little one-year-old that goes by Emmy. And I've known a Carlin. Maybe she spells it C-A-R-L-Y-N. For so long that I haven't even thought of it as being strange. But then again, I named my oldest child, you can hear the proper pronunciation at T-A-L-I-E-S-I-N, Taylison, I guess. So I'm probably not the best person to ask about strange names. At least it's not 10-1.
Okay. Brett says, so I suppose that Carrie and Josh's presentation of the popsicle jokes would be their popsicle shtick?
Oh!
Whackity smackity doo.
Sketch. Blasted Bill says, Luke and Carrie, congratulations! Episode 38 is the very first episode in which you don't mention me in any way. We don't? I've even been avoiding commenting just to see how long it would take for this to happen, and it's been quite a while. Carrie did make a Pot of Destiny reference, but that's as close as you got. Of course, by leaving this comment, I've now broken the streak. Oh well. Hooray for me noticing things that deal with me. Or in this case, that don't deal with you.
Where would I be without me? Thank you, Bill. And I can't remember if I said this actually on the podcast or not, but I just added Toad Elevating Moment podcast to my podcast feed. So
Toad Elevating Moment is a very good podcast you should all go out and download. More similar to this one than Pot of Destiny is.
But they play more music, right?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, I'll start listening to the current episodes, but then I'm going to start it whenever I can, going back and catching up on the ones I missed. It's been going since the end of last year-ish.
Yeah, I'm about 3 or 4 episodes behind now.
Computer King says, so when are you going to have a parody writing contest? Let someone else put words into your funny mouth. Make Luke Ski's Fump anyone? And then Arkel said, not a bad idea, Computer King, though I think that Carrie would be a better fit for the Siler song I mentioned in my last phone call. So, okay, here's the contest. You think of a song parody idea, write the song, get someone to make the background music, and then you record yourself singing it. And then what you do is you send it to the Fump Sideshow, and then you post it on there, and then you tell me that that's where it is, and then I go listen to it, and your prize is you are now a contributing member of the Fump Sideshow.
Yes.
So, yeah, there we go.
Tell me too, but I hear everything on the Fump Sideshow.
Yes. We have a voicemail comment. And that would be this, this here.
Yes, this there.
Hey, Luke and Carrie. It's great to hear that Luke at least is going to be up the Penguin concert. There we go. Now, Carrie has to come by the Penguin concert just to give me a beating. And she's not here hitting Luke's key already, or just playing that. Later.
I think that's Hiei.
Okay. I couldn't tell from the, because he doesn't say who he is.
That would be my guess. And it says, hey, we will be carried. It's great to hear that you know I would really is gonna be up with a time with us. Oh, so there we go throughout. I have to come by the goddamn. Just give me a Pete and she's got here. Hitting looks. He already for job playing. Later, bye. So that is your Google Voice translation. Okay. Yay, or whoever that was.
So, if you would like to leave us a voice message, you can. And when you do, you should say who you are so that we know who you are for sure. You can leave messages at 916-585-3754. That's 916-LUKESKI.
Yay.
916-585-3754. You can also make comments on the main page, badreport.com.
Sure can.
You can leave us iTunes reviews, nobody has done lately.
You sure didn't.
And then you can have an outro.
You sure can.
Well, then do it, Gary.
Da-na-na-na-na, everything's a song, and this is my awesome outro, and this rocks, and this is the best, and you're gonna laugh your ass off.
So, thank you, Carrie. That's an awesome outro. The final song is, if you may remember, a couple episodes back, I told a brief ignorant story when some guy came up to me and he looked at what I was drawing, and he's like, wow, you should be a professional.
Yes.
So ever since then, I've had this song kind of floating in the back of my head. It's another one from Adam English's Sketched Out CD. It is called simply Ocean of Idiots.
Enjoy.
Enjoy.
Enjoy. Bye. Your burrito.
Guy, the funny drawing guy, just like the one who drew that picture of my face when I was 10. In fact, I think that's him. He must be back again. He couldn't still be standing here in this same spot since way back then. Hey man, remember me? You drew me with big teeth in 1991. You made fun of my gums. How many people can you fit into a double? If you draw me funny, then you're gonna be in trouble. Can you make it less cartoony? Less cartoony would be great. I still want a caricature, just don't exaggerate. I am adrift on an ocean of idiots. Go sail away with me on a sea. That he's tracing. Hey, she doesn't have a mustache. Hey, he put a booger on her nose. How much if I draw you? My nephew can draw too. I'm funny enough already. That's okay, man. I can draw my own. Can you erase that line? His sketch don't look like mine. I thought mine would look like that, even though I'm old and fat. Hey, mister, draw me naked. Just make sure you draw me thin. You'll need another piece of paper just to fit my. Just to draw my nose, draw me flexing, here I pose. It should be half price for kids, cause they have smaller heads. I am a drift on an ocean of idiots. Go sail away with me on a sea of fools. I'm slowly floating on an. You should be in anime.
station, or drawing those sketches at the police station. You're not bad at this cartoon thing. Yeah, shut down.
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. I'd like some aftershave, please.
Ah, certainly, sir. Walk this way, please.
If I could walk that way, I wouldn't need aftershave.
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.